Utah Public Radio presents StoryCorps, an oral history project in conjunction with the National Library of Congress, recorded in May of 2013 in St. George.
My name is Francis Batista. I'm 68 years old, and I'm speaking with my friend Cyrus Mejia.
And my name is Cyrus Mejia, and I'm 66. And we are here talking about the beginnings of Best Friends Animal Society, which Francis and I are both co-founders of. And Francis, you were the one who actually found the property where Best Friends is currently located in over near Kanab, Utah. And it's a beautiful piece of the property. People come there and just are astounded at the beauty of it. But how did it happen that you found that place?
Well, I was particularly looking for a place where you, me, and the rest of our friends could set up a sanctuary for the animals, really. So located this place on the map in Kanab, drove up there, and it was spectacular. It was just really beautiful. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. This place is just another world. But it's probably not for sale, and we probably couldn't afford it, even if it was. And so I located the owner, and they were kind of stuck with this thing, and they wanted to get rid of it. So we were able to get into it for $5,000 down, which was just unbelievable. This was 1984. Obviously, it cost more than that, but that's kind of sealed the deal. The rest, I guess, is history. We landed there and started doing our work with the animals and became the largest animal sanctuary in the country.
It was at one point, we moved there, started Best Friends, and we relocated some animals we'd already rescued and were down in Arizona, moved them up there. And at some point, we started getting a whole lot more animals. And one of the reasons for that was we took on the animal control.
Well, the way it happened was this. As you say, we arrived, and amongst the group of us, we had about 200 animals. One of our dogs wandered off. This was shortly after we got there. And one of our colleagues went looking for his dog, which had been lost, and he went to the local pound, which was basically a tin roof shed in a field in back of the airport. And it looked like a little sort of concentration camp. You know, it had a brick wall, fence around it, corrugated roof, baking heat. Once a week, a vet would come over from St. George and put every animal that was there to sleep. Mm-hmm. And we thought, my God, this place is horrible. And anything we can do has to be better than this. And I went down to City Hall and said, is the mayor in? No, he's home. So they told me where he lived. And I went over there and he was out watering his front garden. So the mayor, hi, you know, my name is Francis Batista. You know, we just acquired this property up the canyon. And, well, we'd like to do animal control. And he looked at the flowers, looked at me, and said, okay. So that was it. I mean, we could have been making sausages. You know, he was not remotely interested. You know, you want to spend your money on stray animals, go ahead. You know, we thought, well, how bad could this be? You know, this is a little tiny town. You know, we can handle this. In a couple of years, we had like 1,200 and then soon to be 15, close to 2,000 dogs, cats, horses, farm animals. And, you know, we weren't thinking this when we hadn't thought this through. So we figured, well, you know, we have to get real here and we have to create an organization. Otherwise, we're going to be a bad news story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
So then that was kind of the beginning of it. And that was sort of, that became Best Friends Animal Sanctuary, which became Best Friends Animal Society, which is now a national, one of the three largest animal welfare organizations in the country.
Yes. We got together with them and the National Geographic produced the show Dogtown. So what was that like, having a TV crew following our people around every day?
Well, it was interesting. It was kind of crazy. But one of the things that was interesting there was that the fact that just shortly after that began, you know, Best Friends took on the bulk of the Michael Vick dogfighting dogs, the ones that were rescued from his dogfighting ring. So we had not the majority of them, but we took more than anyone else. We had 22 of the least adoptable, hardest to place, most behaviorally challenged or whatever, of those Michael Vick's pit bulls. And we still have some of them. A lot of them have been adopted. But that was part of that National Geographic narrative. Every dog is an individual, and every dog should be related to as an individual. Prior to this, any dog that was found in some fight situation was regarded as damaged goods. And what we found was that most of the dogs, basically cream puffs, they were frightened, they were unsocialized, but they weren't bad dogs. And most of them have now been, you know, the court ordered that they had to pass their canine good citizen test before they could be adopted. Many of those have. The abuse that those animals suffered is just unspeakable. And so, so dogfight victims are no longer categorically regarded as damaged goods, and they are given the opportunity to be individually evaluated, trained, placed, whatever, and the best that can be done for them. Sometimes nothing can be done for them, but at least they're given the chance now. And that, again, is the result of that work with the Michael Hick dogs.
These interviews were recorded at StoryCorps, a national initiative to record and collect stories of everyday people. Excerpts were selected and produced by Utah Public Radio. Support for StoryCorps on Utah Public Radio comes from Dixie Regional Medical Center, located on two campuses in St. George, serving northwestern Arizona, southeastern Nevada, and southern Utah. Information at dixieregional.org.